Oh my God. You're like listening to Good Day World with Cameron Riley on the Podcast Network. Whatever.
This is Graydon Square on the Podcast Network. Good Day World. Shouts out to everybody in Australia. Beware on the lookout for that Kardashev scale. August 2009.
Look, the product of God and Allah was solved when I spit Molotov. But honestly, now they say that I ain't got it all. They heard the new album and took so much Tylenol because the headache I gave was too strong for aspirin to fight it off. Now the people question it all. What is God? Where is he now? Which one is the Lord? Why do they not see the holes in religion before? Like betting your children on a game and you missing the score. Threats don't work. I've been threatened before. These theists ain't playing. They preparing for war. George is on his way out the door and he's gonna take as many people as he can on his way out for sure. Last time it was black or white, believe it you don't. This time it's simple, you either think it you don't, you leave it you won't. Choose to continue the rules, move in the direction.
Hey, what up, man?
Great and square, how are you, man?
I'm doing a do, how about yourself?
Yeah, I'm good, mate, I'm very good. Good to talk to you.
Am I coming in alright?
You sound fine, mate, how about me? Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, you sounded pretty good,
Alright, man, well, it's exciting to have you back on. Welcome to the show.
Appreciate it. Always glad to be here.
The black Carl Sagan himself. I don't know where
Try to do what I can do.
I read that on a blog. Did you call yourself that or did somebody else make that up?
You know, I said it as a joke. people kind of took it and ran with it. I mean, you know what? I want people to understand that it wasn't meant as any type of disrespect. Obviously, I have great respect for Carl Sagan and his studies and his contributions to science. So, you know, we take it all tongue in cheek.
Yeah, yeah, no, I think it was good. The Black Richard Dawkins, I think you could also call yourself, man. So, hey, listen, I've been looking forward to getting you back on since your new album, CPT Theorem, came out. Oh, and there's my iPhone telling me it's time to interview you.
I'm so jealous. I want an iPhone so bad.
Man, I just got one like a few days ago, and it's like crack, man. If I don't install a new app every few hours, I start to feel like, you know.
Yeah. I start slapping your arm looking for that vein.
I do, man. I start to get the twitches. The new album, mate, CPT Theorem. Want to talk about that. Want to talk about what's going on in the world of Graydon Square. So the last time we had you on the show was sort of a year, maybe a year and a half ago. You were at the time, as well as your rap career, you were studying physics, I think, somewhere in Phoenix. Is that still the case?
Yep. I'm still doing my education, but right now I'm kind of torn in a lot of different directions. I mean, I'm working on this album. I was in the middle of starting up a company, got into a little bit of trouble. So a lot of that stuff got put on hold and stuff like that. I had to deal with some legal issues. So right now I'm just working on finishing up my degree. That's priority number one, just because I've been at it almost too long now and I need to get this done. But you know, I'm still working on music. I'm working on my third album right now called The Kardashev Scale. Hopefully that'll be out by August of this year. Just started working on that right after the holidays, so I'm pretty excited about that. But that's what I've been up to lately, is really just finishing up on school. I've been keeping kind of low-key after the whole legal, you know, Brian Sapien fallout thing. And so, I don't know, I've been just kind of hanging out, doing whatever, you know.
Yeah, well, I don't want to get into the whole Sapien thing. I think I want to talk about the music today. There's plenty
right.
of
no,
where people are talking about that stuff. So let's talk about CPT Theorem, and then we'll talk about the new album, because I am really interested to understand how you work, because, I mean, mate, I really enjoy your stuff. I think it sounds as, you know, just the beats and the chops and everything, the production sounds as professional as anything else out there on the market, if not more so. So I want to talk about how you go about putting that together as far as I understand it, a solo or a small operation. But let's talk about CPT Theorem. Why is the album called the CPT Theorem? And why don't you explain to us what the CPT Theorem is?
All right. So basically, you know, when I was a super hardcore physics student or whatever the case may be, you know, I was into quantum physics, quantum mechanics and stuff like that. And as I started to develop my my rap career, a lot of my physics information and stuff started coming out and that stuff. So when I named my first album The Compton Effect, you know, it was kind of a play on words about where I'm from and, you know, its relationship to particle physics. Well, this essentially was, you know, the same thing. This was just a play on words, basically, that had to do with like CPT symmetry, you know, with symmetry, symmetrical physics and stuff like that. But I just used it kind of as a play on word. I'm from Compton. My origins from Compton, California. So anything associated with the words or the letter CPT or Compton, I try to keep it in the name, you know, kind of remind people where I'm from and what I'm about.
CPT is an abbreviation for Compton, is it, for those of us that aren't from LA?
Right. And it's also an abbreviation for the charge, parity, and time associated with symmetrical physics as well. I just kind of used it as a play on, so.
Very good. I like it. So let's talk about the album. How is CPT theorem different from the Compton effect?
You know, it's not so atheist driven. I think the first album, you know, I kind of hit people over the head with the atheism. I think everybody kind of knows, you know, where I stand these days as far as in the secular community. I feel like I've made some significant contributions on the music side to the secular community that people enjoy, that young people enjoy, and that they can associate with and identify with. That being said, I think it's a little bit more of a mature album. Let people into where I came from a little bit. Group home life. There's a lot of songs in there where I was talking about growing up in foster care and, you know, orphanages for those who don't know, which are called group homes out here in America. So, you know, I wanted people to understand kind of where I came from and so people can understand why I kind of act the way I act and why I do the things that I do. You know, it's not just nothing. There's reasons why I carry myself the way I do and try to do the things that I do.
Yeah, there's a couple of really powerful songs on the album, Group Home Kid and Broken Home. I remember listening to those and thinking, wow, that's really raw stuff. You're laying it all out there.
Well, I don't have any secrets. I mean, you know, it's like, you know, good and bad. When people hear about me, you know, it's me. You know, it's not really sugarcoated. A lot of it is raw. You know, a lot of the things that I've done in my life and that I've seen have been just raw imagery. And I try to put that into my music as best as I can so that people can at least have a glimpse into some of the things that I've seen who aren't as traveled as I am. I want people to understand what it was like in Iraq. I want people to understand what it was like growing up in group homes because there's people in Iraq right now. I get emails from people in Iraq thanking me for the shout outs that I did in a soldier's poem and for letting people understand that, like, look, we give a damn. I want people to understand that this is the life that you have when you're over there, or this is the life that you have when you're in a group home and you feel like you don't have nobody.
Yeah. When you're writing this stuff, do you have a process for putting together your tracks? Does it start with the lyrics? Or does it start with the beat? Where does it come from usually?
That's a good question. You know what? I remember when I first started writing music, when I first started writing lyrics, I was about 18. I think it was like the day after my 18th birthday or something like that. And I remember, you know, writing lyrics far before I would actually hear any type of beat. So I would just be writing raps. Problem was, the raps didn't line up. You know, I wasn't really a great quote unquote rapper at the time or whatever the case may be. So I was just writing stuff. It wasn't until later I started producing myself where it was, you know, I actually started, you know, making the beat first and then actually writing to the beats that I made.
Tell. You want to have a debate, great, set up the time and place, we can discuss time and space, but you better be able to back up whatever you drag up and back up. Until now, you beautiful clowns haven't been able to stack up against us, and with no empirical evidence, you'll miss us. Look at them all, the wee eyes and all, robot arms hanging from the side, so terrified, they think for themselves, it's no surprise, they actually think in the church that no one lies. Look at their program prayers, yeah, the motorized, get up the battle agreement, go get it notarized, for the older guys who just want to be polarized, for the same reason we just want to spread open eyes, this is for the rise of the atheists. Guess who's back?
And that's how you do it now? You have a...
Oh, yeah.
How do you
I start with the... Well, I use a couple of pieces of equipment. I have an Akai MPC 2000, which is my sequencer, a couple of sound modules. Let's see, Phantom XR, Motif 6, some virtual stuff, Reason and Logic and stuff like that. And, you know, basically I just, you know, I sample my drums and I, you know, I really don't sample too much. There's a couple of sample tracks on the first and first album. I don't think there was any sample tracks in the second album. So I try to compose all my music. If I don't compose it myself, I get it from friends of mine who produce and stuff like that. So it usually starts with the music and I try to write because, you know, my brother told me back when I was in the Army, you know, songs write themselves. You just have to hear what they're saying and it's no better to hear that than from the actual music itself.
Wow, good quote. So you, how do you have any assistants? Do you have producers? Do you have engineers? Or is it this a one-man operation?
Nah, this is really just a one-man operation. I mean, I work real closely with my boy, Trauma. You know, a lot of people don't know about Trauma. Trauma helps me in the recording process of my album as well. I mean, we do a lot of recording together. I help him on his projects. He helps on mine. You can find him on MySpace Trauma Unit. But, you know, he produced three tracks from the last album, four tracks on, I think the new one, I think it was three. But, you know, he helps me out. Other than that, it's just me. I accept, you know, submissions from people. If people feel like they could hear me on a track that they've produced or something, they'll send it to me. I'll definitely take a look at it. And if they're up for discussing terms, then I'm up for it. But most of the time, it's just me. Wow. One man operation. Yeah.
It's really impressive the quality of the stuff that you're doing for a one man operation when, you know, these other rappers out there have got, posses the size of a small village working for them. what do you think your secret is that you're able to produce such high quality stuff as a one man band?
I watch a lot of sci-fi. and yeah, believe it or not, that's the trick. And I watch a lot of sci-fi. I watch a lot of Star Trek, Battlestar, and I'll sit here and I'll hear ideas from that stuff. I mean, if you go back, you know, Deep Space Nine era and watch those episodes, you'll hear a lot of some of the riffs that I do from those scores from Jay Shadaway, one of the musical composers from Star Trek. So I just, you know, that's what I do. I sit here, I watch Star Trek and I watch Battlestar and I just try to, you know, clear my mind and put stuff out there and hopefully it sounds good, you know.
Hip hop songs coming from soundtracks to sci-fi TV shows. I've never heard that one before.
You know, I also had great inspiration too, man. I mean, you know, there's a lot of people who inspire me to make music the way I do. DJ Quick is one of my all-time idols. You know, as far as his production and his production style and the stuff that he does. So, I mean, you know, people like that. You know, obviously the pioneers who know. Those were the people who obviously inspired me to get into this. I just try to put my own unique sound, and that's where I usually get my sound is from the sci-fi stuff. So,
wow. Well, mate, major kudos. Let's talk about your philosophy. Since the last time we chatted, what's happened with you in terms of your atheism, your philosophy on life? Has anything developed? Has anything changed with you that you want to share with us?
Yeah, you know what? I'm an atheist, plain and simple. I mean, people either deal with it or don't get over it. You know, that's what I am. You know, it's funny because, you know, controversy aside, a lot of people think because there was an incident or whatever the case may be that I'm up, like I'm a free agent or something. You know, people come to me like, well, you know, those atheists, you know, they kind of did this and that. So you might as well just come over to our side. I'm like, dude, it ain't no side. Like, this is the way I think. Like, I don't care about them and I really don't care about you. This is about my ideology as it is to how I see the world. It has nothing to do with a group I'm associated with. And that's what a lot of atheists are. I mean, really, I think we were looking at it the wrong way. I think we were trying to be a lot like the clergy, a lot like the church. And in the end, man, it's you know, with me, it's music. But in the end, it's as long as people aren't being hurt over your specific belief. And this is an argument for another debate, you know, an argument for another day. As long as people aren't being hurt from your belief, then it really shouldn't be any problem of what people believe in. But the problem is people get hurt. And as you can see in different parts of the world, people are taken advantage of and exploited because of religion. So it's still an issue. But as far as in the debate communities and the YouTubes and the MySpace and all that type of stuff, you know what, man? I'm just trying to make my music and finish my education. I'm not even really thinking about that stuff.
How long have you got to go with the degree?
I got about a year and some change left, and it can't come fast enough.
And when you're finished with that, are you planning on pursuing a career in physics or in hip-hop? Which way do you throw your energy?
I don't know, man. I mean, you know, I'll always make music. Music is a part of who I am, so I'll always make my music. So I'll always, you know, for people who don't know me, I'll always put out an album every year until I can't anymore, you know? So it should never be a question. If Graydon coming out with another album, yes, Graydon's coming out with another album. Graydon will always come out with another album as long as he can. As long as the music is fresh and you know, I keep spitting, you know, then that's what's going to happen.
So as a result of the first two albums, have you been approached by labels, any, you know, big studios wanting to pick you up? Any interest out there? I mean, it's awesome stuff.
You know, I had a few people. Well, first of all, the quality of music, I definitely appreciate, you know, you telling me that my music is awesome. I take it as a grain of salt just because I know that there's worse music out there and there's better music out there. So I just try to find my place. That being said, you know, I there was some interest in the beginning from a couple of labels. There was one big label in particular I got pretty excited about, like a kid, and, you know, that fell through. But the quality of music really doesn't matter when you talk about labels and who they pick up and stuff like that. If a label approached me now, I probably wouldn't sign. It's a better opportunity for me to just stay independent. That way I can talk about what I want to talk about. Nobody can say, well, you can't talk about the church, or you can't talk about, you know, Pope such and such, or, you know, I don't have that. It's just me. I'm my own label. I'm my own boss. You know, if I drop a record that sucks, then it's on me. If I drop a record that's dope, then it's on me.
Yeah, good philosophy, man. I have very much the same with my media business. You know, I was wondering though, with the nature of the stuff that you do, do you think that is an inhibitor to you know, big labels getting involved? Is the climate still in the US that if you're out there as an atheist, you're just not going to get picked up? Even though, I mean, there seems to be a huge market for atheist authors the moment.
Yeah, I would think that somebody would see it and be like, "Hey, I'm pretty sure I could." I mean, from a business standpoint,
yeah, you know, I could
probably
man.
Make a lot. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I could fill in this vacuum over here where there's really no quote unquote commercial secular music or anything like that. But you know, it never really matters.
If 10% of Americans consider themselves atheists, then that's, you know, 20 million, 30 million people, man.
Yeah, 30 million people. Yeah, 30 million people.
And that's, you know, that's one of the things, apart from the you know, the quality of the music and the beats and the rhymes. I download lots of albums and you know, I think I listened to maybe two or three tracks on Snoop's new album, but I listen to yours constantly. And obviously one of the reasons for that is I relate to the lyrics. I relate to the content. It's interesting. It's intelligent. It fits with my philosophy. And you know, there's not a lot of music out there, hip-hop or rock or folk or anything these days, that's addressing these sorts of issues. You would think it'd be a terrific niche.
Well, that's because the labels think they know what's in the people's best interests. I mean, it's always been a problem, the labels telling the stations to program people to like certain things. I mean, they don't believe that atheists or secular people or anybody who's just not really a part of the status quo is really important enough to cater to. But now in this market where the consumer is truly king in today's economy, where the consumer is God, you know, essentially, you know, you don't really have that problem now because the labels are dying. I mean, I just went to Virgin Records the other day, the little store. I mean, they're selling their old TVs trying to break even. I mean, the labels are hurting. Don't let them fool you. They need people right now. But, you know, right now, it's their philosophy. Quality of the music doesn't really matter, and they don't feel like we are a market worth catering to. So it's their loss. I believe it's their loss. Because we as a people, as a secular community, will always stand up, I believe, and say, hey, listen, we're over here. Recognize us or not, but we're over here. So you can ignore us and, I guess, lose out, you know, but it is what it is.
Yeah. And so how did you go about distribution and marketing over the last couple of years with the first two albums? I know you've got a MySpace page. Is it mostly online?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, everything that I do now is online. You know, when I first started out, you know, I pressed up CDs, physical CDs for the first album. There were some complications with that. I decided to go strictly digital for the second album. just because that would eliminate any type of confusion. And I also felt like it was kind of like, you know, physical media is dying, if not dead already. So it was kind of almost being a little bit more environmentally conscious to not really press up something that's going to, you know, be thrown away really after people put it on their iPods. I mean, all your CDs and stuff are really, you know, useless after you throw them on your digital media players. So I just felt like going digital was the best way to go. You know, Facebook, I'm on Facebook, MySpace, Last.fm are the big ones I'm on. SoundClick, I'm also on. And I get some play in some internet radio stations are pretty kind to me. You know, so, it actually kind of works better through word of mouth. I mean, most people just have me on their MySpace page or their Facebook page or have a quote of a lyric that I said or something like that. Some people, quote, you know, put my song lyrics up on their pages and stuff like that. And, you know, it's an honor, definitely. But that's really how, you know, the word gets out. And I'm all up for people downloading the record. If you don't have the money to pay for it, you have my permission. Go to a torrent site and download the record, because I would rather you have it for free than not have it at all. So I'm telling you right now, Graydon Square is giving you permission to go download his record. If you can spare some, you know, money for it, then please do. But if not, then it's all good.
You remind me of Cory Doctorow. I think the last time I heard Cory Doctorow speak when he came to Australia for some function, he said the biggest challenge for most authors isn't piracy of their content. It's nobody knowing who the hell they are.
Right. I would rather, you know, I tell people, in fact, there was somebody, because I had put out a little release right before the second album came out, just letting people know, like, hey, the album's out. And I was just like, look, if you're going to download it, I just say that you just give it to somebody else as well. You make a copy for somebody else so that they can, you know, become aware of the music. That's all I really care about. I'm more concerned right now with my place in hip hop, with my status, with people, with what people view me as an MC. Not really the atheist thing, but I want people to take in consideration how I am lyrically. Like, I honestly believe in my heart, like nobody else, I'm one of the top 20 rappers in the world right now. And I honestly believe that. And call it arrogance, whatever the case may be, but I honestly believe that. And so right now I'm trying to make music to the point where it's so well that you can say that dude is one of the top 20 rappers in the world. And so that nobody can discount that I'm one of the top 20 rappers in the world. And that's important to me. I want people to look at me at the when it's all over and be like, that dude was one of the best that ever did it. Not for his philosophies or nothing like that, but the fact that lyrically he held it down and he was able to convey his argument in an intellectual and creative manner. And that's all I want to be recognized for. The money aspect of it, if it comes, people can buy it. If they don't, whatever. You know, I just want people to be like, you know, when they talk about the M&Ms and the Cannabises and the Nas's and the Snoop Dogs and the DJ Quicks and the Wu-Tang and the Redmans, I want people to be like, and the Graydon Square, he was dope. He put secularism for urban culture and secularism, period, on the map for hip hop. You know, people like him, people like Mr. Gone, people like Proclaim, people like Sickness, you know, Uncle Scams, people like Drama. We all try to contribute to this secular hip hop or music generation. So that people can be like, look, I mean, the drug dealers and the partiers and the drug users all have anthems and stuff like that. We have our own, you know?
You know, and that's you bring up an interesting point around hip-hop that actually is communicating something apart from bling and bitches and smoking blunts. I mean, hip-hop, I'm sure there is a lot of underground stuff that's still got some edge to it. But if I think back to when I was growing up in the 80s, when hip hop definitely had an edge to it. It had a social message. These days, it seems to have been watered down and candied up a great deal. I can't think of too many large commercial hip hop albums in the last decade that actually felt like they were communicating something important. Am I missing something?
No. I think you're right. I mean, I just never really thought of it that way before in the last 10 years. And I'm trying to pick some out right now. I mean, I really don't know who am I to judge. I'm just saying, like, you're probably right. I really haven't heard anything really communicating something on a community level, you know, since the Pox and the Bigs. M to a certain degree, but that was more middle America. But, you know, you still can't discount it. So, but you're right. In the last, you know, maybe 50, but that was before, you know, I guess the over-commercialism, saturation sort of thing. I don't know.
I think it was Nas a couple of years ago that had that track, Hip Hop is Dead. And that's what I sort of took away from that, too, is that
Yeah, but it's one thing to say hip hop is dead. It's really another thing because everybody can run around here and say hip hop is dead. Hip hop will never die because hip hop is not just the music. You know, hip hop is the culture. It's the attitude. It's the way we express it. This is what hip hop is to me. I'm an MC. I feel like I'm a samurai with a sword in feudal Japan. That means any other MC out there has a sword just like mine. And that this MC can use his sword however he pleases. Now, he can use his sword for good, quote unquote, evil, however you want to describe it. But if two warriors come in contact with each other, they have battles. Some of them, you know, have alliances, and that's what it is. I mean, that's what I look at hip hop. You know, to me, it's a warrior culture. It's a battle culture. When I get into a cypher, I want to see who's the best, and I know I'm the best. You know, I'm trying to battle everybody. It doesn't matter who it is. So, to me, that's what hip hop is. Hip hop isn't really the style of music of the East Coast underground. You know, music evolves. Hip hop, you can find hip hop in the underworld of Houston, just like you can find it in Compton, you can find it in Brooklyn or Germany or Japan. You talk about hip hop culture, those two places do have hip hop. Norway, they have hip hop culture. America needs to stand up and recognize. Australia, you know, people like that. New Zealand, they have hip hop culture now.
I was at a big folk festival between Christmas and New Year in about an hour out of Brisbane, country Queensland, and there was a bunch of Australian hip-hop bands performing at that. There were huge audiences, people turning up, little underground hip-hop bands that, you know, don't have a lot of mainstream visibility, but have huge followings and huge audiences. So you're right, absolutely.
And you know what I like about that is the fact that, you know, once again, it's the mainstream not recognizing another community out there, whether it's a non-American hip-hop community, and that community just simply saying, you know what, whatever, we'll do our own thing, and you will have to recognize us at some point.
Kids from the system that you see and wouldn't listen taught us heaven and hell, but the system only prepared us for jail. You've all seen us do hillsides and star view, Mid-Valley, McLaren Hall, and bright future. Go out in the wrong color stars, they might shoot you. I used to run every chance I would get. I was a guinea pig, a test subject for medication, and settle for subpar HEC education. A misfit, another kid trapped in the system, destined to be a product, another statistic. I knew I wasn't cool when the big ugly group home van showed up to pick me up from school. Everybody knew it and I couldn't hide it. My skin was my prison, I just wanted to climb inside it. I'm a cool old kid and I'm not ashamed.
So talk to me about the crafting of the lyrics. You know, I guess that's something that's probably has a whole degree of mystique around it for most of us that are listeners and not rappers. To me, listening to the way that somebody like you crafts your lyrics is like listening to Coltrane playing saxophone, where you go, my God.
Oh, man, I appreciate the compliment, but I am no Coltrane. I appreciate the comment, but I look at it as, you know, my voice as well as my equipment out here is... like, you know, obviously there's a canvas and these are the utensils, the pens, the pencils, the paintbrush, the paint that I can paint my picture with. What I try to do is I'm a wordy person already. I was always articulate as a kid just because I watched so much Star Trek and shit when I was younger. And so, you know, all that techno babble kind of came with me as I grew into an adult. That being said, what I try to do is I try to be as descriptive as I possibly can in the shortest amount of time I possibly can do it in. So if I can do it in a bar, you know, or 16 bars, and then tell you an entire story in 16 bars or part of a story that's important or relevant for, you know, future reference, then I'm going to try to do that. So I use a lot of, I use a dictionary to clarify certain things and how to use it. You know, I just try to be, I feel like if hip hop had an efficiency rating, I'd say that I was pretty high at being efficient with how I use my words and how I craft my lyrics. So I don't know if that was a good explanation or not, but whatever.
What about in terms of the beats that you put into the lyrics? I mean, how do you approach that part of the craft?
You know what? Most beats happen on accident. I mean, I am not born music, as DJ Quick would say. I learned how to make music. So for me, I stumble upon beats. Now, I've been doing it enough to know certain things that sound good and certain things that work, but I feel like everybody who has the opportunity or who has two ears, who have the opportunity to get any type of sequencing software or anything like that, anything to be able to make music, GarageBand, they should all try it. Because believe it or not, I just taught my girl how to make a beat last night in 10 minutes. It's not as hard as these producers will make it seem. But see, what they don't want is anybody else cutting in on their market. So somebody else out there who probably has a great musical knowledge and has a great way of looking at how sounds work probably would never touch a keyboard simply because they're intimidated by the technology or they're intimidated by the process and they don't ever get their feet wet. And so then you miss out on great people like unknown producers that you'll never hear of. People, you know, a lot of people around the world still have no idea who Ninth Wonder is and people like that. I mean, these are great, 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 great producers that a lot of people just don't even pick them up on their radar.
Yeah. You sound like the Woody Allen of hip hop, man. That's what Woody Allen's been saying about making movies for the last 30 years. It's really not that hard.
I just feel like everybody should do it. You know, everybody. If you can bob your head to a beat, you can make a track. So don't be scared. Go out there, get you Reason, get you Fruity Loops, whatever you got to do. Try to make a beat and send it to me. I might rap to it.
What about crafting the lyrics, though? I mean, you talked about, you know, the lyrical content, but you have the rhyming beats in a verse as well. How do they come about? Do they just come naturally?
Not necessarily. It's something that I've tried to design. I feel like rhyme scheme is like someone's signature or someone's style. If you want to talk about it in a martial arts standpoint, it'd be kung fu or karate, Jeet Kune Do.
I mean, there's fast styles. Listen to Eminem. He has a very signature kind of rhythmic style.
But hey, listen, you know, I mean, when you look at it, you have to look at it in a kind of in a combative nature as well. I mean, let's take somebody like Eminem. That's a tough matchup for anybody on the battlefront because he's done it commercially and he's done it underground. He made battling famous in 8 Mile. So when you talk about people like him or somebody like Redman, that's a tough matchup because their wit is so sharp. They have the credibility lyrically. You can place them anywhere in the top 10 and not get an argument from anybody. You know, those are tough matchups, you know, people like that. Your rhyme scheme is your signature. It is who you are. So how you craft the way your lyrics go together, the fluidity in your lyrics, your swagger, basically, how you craft that stuff is important in telling people or letting people know, hey, this is me. This is how I get down. Lyrically, I'm going to dazzle you. I tell people all the time, even my friends, you know, who obviously it's always combative in nature, like, lyrically, I'm better than you. I will wrap circles around you. And we'll go back and forth, whatever, whatever, but I believe that in my heart. And any rapper, any MC, anybody who does anything competitive in nature should always believe that they're the best, whether it's true or not. You know, so I don't know. I try to do it. I try to use the resources that I have and just basically use what I have to do what I can do the best.
So it's something that you actually sit down and engineer where the rhyming beats are going to be in a lyric. You sit down and play around with different variations. You have something that you're aiming for.
Oh, yeah. I right click. See, I type my lyrics. I mean, I still know people who physically write their lyrics, but I mean, come on, it's 2009. You can pull out a, you know, little PDA or something like that and type in your lyrics or whatever the case may be. I right click and use, the thesaurus option in my processor all the time. You know what I mean? Just because think about how many words there are in the English language. You know, there's got to be a variation of a word that I'm using while I'm talking to you right now that rhymes with a word I just said previously. You just have to find the word. And then you have to get it right in the syllable count. Once you find the word, you find the variation because there's different ways you can say the same thing. So you just need to find the best way to say what you're trying to say. I say people play around with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Don't just, you know, think about two syllable words as, okay, you have one two syllable word, and then you have two 1 syllable words that sound the same. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it really is. I mean, I'm not going to say it's easy. you know, because if they that was the case, then everybody would be doing it. But I don't believe it's as hard as people who are in the industry or people who do it and don't share with people how they do it. I don't think it's as hard as they make it seem. You know what I mean? You could go out there and I mean, just stand in a freestyle session or in a cipher and just pick up on it. You know, it really is just, it's up to the person how much they love hip hop, how much they love the culture, and how much they're going to put into it.
Let's talk about America just to wrap up. Interesting time in America at the moment. You've got a lot of people who obviously think that Obama's going to change things significantly. Meanwhile, you've got the whole Israel-Gaza thing going on at the moment that Obama's not saying anything about, and Bush is obviously supporting Israel. As an ex-military guy, how do you feel about America at the moment? Are you an Obama guy? Are you excited about Obama? Where do you stand on all of that stuff?
Now, everybody knows how I feel about politics. They're just gangs to me. I joined a gang a long, long time ago, and I never changed gangs. You know what I'm saying? Like, I look at it as, to me, political parties, man, I just wish people would understand that the bipartisan, you know, just the two-party system is just, it's so bogus because it forces you to pick between basically two assholes. Now, I'm not calling Obama an asshole by any mean because I respect the man. I did vote for him. I do believe that he's going to bring change to America. But people should not expect a miraculous change overnight. And I just feel like, yeah, it's a great time. I sobbed like a baby when he was, you know, elected because I was a part of history, I felt like. And I felt this connection to this black man who I thought I would never see in my lifetime become a president. That being said, I want people to slow down for a second and just be like, look, all right, yeah, he's president. He's going to do, but we got to give him time to do it because if it doesn't happen fast enough, I believe that people are going to try to place it on him. And it's not fair because the country is so fucked up that, you know, you can't place all of this on him to change in a year. You know, the economy, it isn't like some just, all right, yeah, ha-ha, maybe just over the summer downturn or nothing like that. Man, this is the real deal, like recession, you know, damn near depression type stuff. So I just want people to kind of give the man a chance. I don't look at it as really, because I don't align myself with Democrats and I don't align myself with Republicans because they're both, to me, just trying to do the same thing, gain power for their party. So there's always somewhat of a conflict of interest when it comes to politics for me. So as far as the Israel-Gaza thing, just two motherfuckers fighting over some shit that don't even exist. I don't give a fuck about both of them. Whatever.
You changed track with the politics stuff, which was interesting. On one hand, you're saying that you think the Democrats and the Republicans are both as bad as each other is what it sounds like. But on the other hand, you seem to have a little bit of faith in Obama. I've been telling all of my American friends for the last year.
I have faith in the man, you know?
Yeah? You don't think he's just another pretty front man for the same gangsters?
He could be. I don't know. You see, I don't know enough about politics to really make those type of declarations. But what I do know is, you know, the man has changed people's lives. You know, I mean, Bush has changed people's lives, but not in the way they want to remember. You know, I mean, even if you look at pretty figureheads, pretty boy figureheads that are basically just there to kind of look good for the public to sleep well at night. I mean, I have faith in Obama, the man, that he is going to try to change what he said he was going to try to change. If he doesn't, there won't be another black man in office for another 50, 75 years. This, I believe that, you know, in my heart, it's like, all right, you niggas got your chance. Now, if he fucks it up, you know, I don't want to hear shit. And that's basically what I kind of feel like it is right now. So, you know, we'll wait and see. But I believe in the man. You know, I believe that he'll do the right thing. And I believe that he'll do what's best in the interest of all people, not just the Democrats, you know, or whatever the case may be. So,
well, I hope you're right, man. Give a shout out to your URL. Where should people find the Graydon Square CPT theorem and Compton effect?
You know what? You can always catch me on iTunes. I know there's a lot of people out there who support me. There's a lot of people out there who don't support me. I'm open to all, you know, email and chat or whatever you want to send me. So it's always cool. Graydon Square at MacMAC.com. Facebook, MySpace, Graydon Square, GREYDON, in case you are interested. So
that's right. Well, mate, that's great. Thanks again for coming on the show. Really appreciate it.
Hey, I'm always down. Anytime, man. Anytime.
the check slips. But what I really love is crossing briefs off my checklist and then taking that lowercase t off of your necklace. You can probably tell I'm getting used to the death threats. But these clowns make me laugh like Drew Carey, cause truth is scary enough to believe in the tooth fairy, ain't it? I'm a sun devil, as of last night. So when you call me a devil, you only half right. The only thing I really did was expose all these superstitious and Bronze Age religions with holes. Call me super gross, ain't no religion safe. I walk right into your synagogue and piss in your face. How many times must I cut you in half and laugh at how many excuses come out of your ass? You can keep Christmas. We'll just call it solstice and continue to ask for proof until you have to show.
You want fuel for the fire? I'll bring your napalm. Hit you hard enough, you swear you was jacked by Donkey Kong. So I'm taking Occam's razor, wielding it as a sword. Cut through Pascal's wager, another bet you can't afford to waste time with. Can you feel the time shift? Catch up to me and feel the effects of redshift. And I'm fulfilling the stereotypical rapper's role. Impregnate your sacred virgin and call her mine. When I lay the trump card on a beat that bumps hard, you say you're gonna bury me in your backyard. I'm not buying it. Hell, I'm not even eyeing it. Like gay porn, homie, I'm not even trying it. Your god's a contradiction of terms by definition, like a BBW. Come on now, who are you kidding? But seriously, kids, cause I'm not even kidding. Jay's Dallas, playing with your religion like a
kid. Can't overpower reason, even in your coldest hour. Watch your faith get ate by logic. Reason leaves your soul devoured. Bogus cowards, you cannot ignore us. So now the squad's abroad, breaking the facade before us. Pray to your god, any god, Jah, Allah, or Horus. I'm here to test your faith and crush it like a brontosaurus. So summon all your forces, none of which will impress me. Fetch the holy water and a father to bless me. Dress me like a little choir boy and molest me. Rob me of my money so my soul can be set free. Now let's see, those aren't the best habits. Am I right, Ted Haggard, Mr. Meth Addict? My perfect logic is leaving your head battered. And your god doesn't love you, he doesn't accept you.
Mr. Square, listen, they a fan of fiction. Sick of fans chanting, protecting their manic inflictions. A sick man listening to all this bitching. Switching positions like religions to victory.
You guys are so funny.
I know the score of that between war and factions. Infatuated with the war in Iraq. Storing bodies in the morgue packed in the core in the sack. Believing folklore is fact. I set off an EMP and watched the bombers blow themselves up to establish commerce. Your inferior belly past the rectus. They be like, Mr. Gone, don't let them infect us. Do the right thing, here's a gun and bullets. Safety off, aim it at your nugget and pull it.
Yeah.
But ask for forgiveness before you do it. You said heaven's real,
look,
so here's your chance to prove it.
Let's meet him in the afterlife, battering me. Oh wait, there isn't one, so I'll have to when I see him. Tell him this is what you get for attacking the heathen. You gon' respect it like it was immaculately conceived. Don't give me any of your faith, give me your reason. To run circles around you idiots with logic and reason. These little Christian internet rappers are such actors. Nobody with no skills with non-factors. Not to mention the hypocritical mission to bring souls to the invisible liberal prison. And the next time you morons try to do a song where you wanna diss me on, just know that you're gonna go and piss me off. Enough to reveal your little Wizard of Oz. Pull the curtains back, make you shit in your drawers. No, there's no misunderstanding, I'm dissing you all. Cause this is a brawl.
It's the most intelligent, creative, yeah. Cleverest rap dude. Got more brains than Senator Craig in the bathroom. It's sickness. Remember my name, I'm like Triple H's face, I'm ahead of the game. Yeah, it's simple and plain, religion is way more dangerous than Bin Laden when he gets on a plane. I ain't walking with Kanye or Jesus Christ. About to bring it to the rap game and breathe it life. Yeah. Ain't rapping about guns, drugs, breezy's ice. You ain't never in your life seen them seize this nice. Plus we deeper than the Vatican's pockets. We're attacking our religion and slapping agnostics, but everyone's agnostic to a certain degree. I agree with Sam Harris, personally, the word atheist shouldn't even be in our vocab. Your god's crying cause what you believe in is so sad. Yeah, I'm corrupting the youth. If corruption is convincing them to cover the truth. Yeah, I'm spitting on Muhammad and getting at Christians. I'ma bring it to the ass. I'm Raps Christopher Hitchens. Yeah.